You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
This is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heidmark, and I'm glad to be back. I apologize for all the bumps in the road for our shows. That's a great thing about live. I so much appreciate Sven and everyone else who filled in while I was gone. The reason I was gone is actually a very exciting thing. As many of you know, here in Southern Indiana, one of our big focuses is being able to create a political power base and doing community building. Being able to actually concentrate the forces of the nationalist movement to be the most effective. And actually, one of our comrades, who's the first of several from New York City, actually made the jump. He came home, of course, as we like to say, to become a part of the community. And no joke, I wish it was just a stereotype, but his Jew landlord at the last minute decided, after he had rented out his apartment, said a week earlier than he originally planned, he needed to get out. So I just had a crazy trip to New York and back to get our buddy, but he's here now and excited, and he's one of our chief propagandists. So he's going to be creating more content for the party. It's going to be great. So thank you guys for the inconvenience I put you through of not being here the past 2 days, but that means more videos, more things, lots of exciting things coming. So stay tuned. And today I'm joined by my good friend Sven Longshanks. Sven, how are you doing? And I hear there's some crazy stuff going on in the Labour Party. So let's get a breakdown from you in the UK on what's actually going on in the UK.
Hi, Matt. Yeah, pleased to be here. I'm glad that your friends left the big city. This is something that the landlords like to do. They like to bend the rules. They break them all the time. You know, you've got the little guy who's renting the room, and then you've got the big landlord with all the money and all the support that he gets behind that. And the weight of the law is often against the person that's renting. I've had a lot of instances of that myself. I count myself very lucky that I've had good landlords most of the time, but I have had times that I've been ripped off for my deposits, and I do know that the law is against you, and hopefully he'll have a better time away from the city with you. But what's happening over here? We've got the Labour Party conference at the moment. I expect everyone's aware that Jeremy Corbyn has been voted back in again as the leader of the Labour Party, and that in itself was very, very interesting, because he got voted in just less than a year ago with a landslide vote. And the Jews hate him because he is against Israel and the way that the Israelis treat the Palestinians. So the Jews really, really hated him, and they stirred up the Labour Party against him, and they filled the newspapers with all these headlines saying that the Labour Party were anti-Semitic, Jeremy Corbyn was a Jew hater. And of course, we helped out with this by sending out these anti-Semitic memes featuring Jeremy Corbyn and calling him a new Nazi and Stormtrooper Corbyn and all this sort of stuff. And they put out all this negative propaganda against him, and they stirred up the party against him so much that half of his cabinet actually rebelled and left. They resigned, and then they called for a leadership challenge. And the Jewish media, they thought that they were so powerful and mighty that they would be able to put across this leadership challenge and then smear Jeremy Corbyn in the newspapers, and they would get another puppet in there that would be licking the Jews' backsides once again. But it failed, and Jeremy Corbyn won by a landslide again, by another 2% this time, which shows us that the Jewish media no longer has the power that it once did to sway public opinion, because they really threw all the dirt at him that they could, and the Labour Party members just took no notice of it, and they voted him back in again. And this week they're having their first conference. Yesterday there was a Negro who was talking about Trident, I believe it was, and the party members changed his speech and he chimped out. There isn't any actual video footage of it, but they said that he was punching the walls and throwing the mobile phone around. And of course, we know this is just typical Negro behaviour, but the Labour Party are quite shocked at it. And that was the main news yesterday. But today they've actually got Jeremy Corbyn himself speaking, and he has drastically misread what the people want. I mean, we voted Brexit, and we voted for Brexit because we wanted a stop to immigration. That was the main subject on everybody's lips. Everyone that was interviewed, why did you vote for Brexit? They all said, because we want to stop immigration. And he's there speaking at the conference today, and he's saying, immigration is wonderful. We're not going to stop immigration. We want to keep immigration. What we want to do is have an immigrant impact fund. So they want to get the money from somewhere to pay out more money to the immigrants. This is exactly what he was saying before. They were saying, well, what we need to do is put the wages up higher so that the immigrants get paid more. Instead of saying, well, we want to stop the immigrants, he seems to have completely missed the fact that we don't actually like being replaced by foreigners. We don't have any room in the schools. We don't have any room in the hospitals before you actually add in the crimes that they commit against us. And he thinks that somehow he can just create a fund full of money and that will compensate for all the ills of being replaced by these foreigners. I mean, we just do not have enough room left on our island to fit all these people in. But he seems to think that space can just go on into infinity. He's totally ignored what people have said.
And they're totally out of touch with reality. And Sven, actually, something for our listeners, especially an American audience, can you talk a little bit, because it seems to be something that's very close to what's happened with the Democratic Party in the United States, with the Labour Party. The Labour Party going from the party of majority white working class to multiculturalism, to globalism, to unchecked immigration. You know, of course, here in the United States, the Democrats used to be the party of George Wallace, used to be the party of states' rights, used to be the party of the populace and the little guy against the Wall Street machine and the industrialists. And now they're the ultimate tool of the globalists. So could you just talk and give some perspective to our listeners, you know, when they hear the word labor, and they usually think workers and things like that, and now that, you know, Jeremy Corbyn and all these others are supporting policies of no work, of jobs going overseas, and more people to come over to fight over lower wages and benefits for people, you know, from foreign countries to lounge about and not work. What happened to the Labour Party historically and in recent history that's turned it away from being any semblance of a white working class party?
Well, this is just it. The worst possible thing that can happen to the labour market is if you start bringing in immigrants that are going to work for less wages. In Eritrea, the average annual income is £550 a year, and that's 2 weeks' wages for somebody living in Britain. That's all it is, and that's their annual income. So of course they're going to be desperate to come into Britain under asylum or just to sneak in anyway and try and work cash in hand or get in here legally, and then they can claim benefits and they'll be an absolute millionaire when they start sending that back to Eritrea. So the Labour Party, instead of looking out for the working man and being the party that's against immigration, have taken the money from the bankers and said, well, we're all for immigration because everybody's the same. If everybody's the same, then it doesn't matter if the people that are in Britain are British or if they're Eritrean or if they're Pakistani. It really doesn't matter. So that's the way that the Labour Party look at it. They've fallen for this scam that all human beings are the same. And also, if they bring in these immigrants from these other countries, if they lobby for them to be allowed in, then the chances are that these people that do come in are then going to vote for Labour. And they actually said this, the Labour Party under Tony Blair, they said, we're going to really rub the right's nose in it by flooding the country with all these immigrants, which is exactly what they have done. And now what's happened, the Labour Party is really big on diversity quotas. They started off by saying, well, we have to have X amount of women in the Labour Party. So instead of some of these MPs actually getting in there because the people in their public wanted them in there, certain parts of the country have just been told, well, this is who you got. You've got to vote for this woman because she's on this quota. She hasn't actually done anything, but that's the only choice you're going to get. And they've done the same with the black and ethnic minorities. So they've parachuted in blacks, Pakistanis, women, got lots of Muslims in there. And of course, now they've got such a large portion of Muslims, a lot of them are very much against Israel. So this is where this charge of anti-Semitism has come from. And yet, but of course, Jeremy Corbyn himself, he's been married to a Negro. He talks about how friendly he is for Jews. I mean, this has been a big part of today's speech of his. He's been saying how much he loves the Jews. And if you were just to take a step back and look at that, you would think, well, hang on a minute, this is a party that is supposed to be representing the British people. And here is the leader prostrating himself before a foreign people and trying to overdo the other people in his party for who loves the foreigner more. It's absolutely ludicrous when you think about it. But that's what's happened, Matt. It's all been these diversity quotas that they put in, that they've replaced the white people with brown people, who, of course, are then going to advocate for brown people's interests, which is only natural. And they're not going to advocate for the white person's interests. And this goes back to Marxism and the dictatorship of the proletariat and the workers of the world unite. The Labour Party say to themselves, well, it doesn't matter if they're brown or black or whatever, they're workers. But of course, what that means is that the real workers, that the British people that actually built the country, their wages get driven down into the ground and they have to queue to get into their schools, queue to get into the hospitals. Their young girls get raped by the Pakistanis. But the Labour Party doesn't care about all of that because, of course, everybody's all equal. That would just be happening if they weren't here anyway, is the way they think. The Nirvana fallacy. If a brown person wasn't doing it, then a white person would be doing it. That's sort of the way they look at it. So I think that's how they sleep at night. They honestly believe that everybody is equal, even though their eyes tell them that cannot possibly be so. That's what's causing.
Yeah, I mean, it kicks into the huge difference between national socialism and international socialism. You know, international socialism pushing for the idea that there are no borders, there are no differences between religions, differences between cultures, differences between ethnic communities, differences between genders. All this stuff is all white supremacy and the patriarchy divided us. I actually got into a Twitter argument not too long ago with someone that was saying that that capitalism and nationalism are one and the same, and then we will only have freedom with internationalism. And you just think about that mindset. Of course, it's absolute nonsense to believe that that could be so. Even in the Soviet Union, they had racial strife, and at the end of the Second World War, you know, Stalin was sending in the East Asians and stuff like that as the frontline shock troops, and what some people say was to deal with ethnic minorities and things like that. And even the conduct, you know, in the Soviet Union in Berlin, you know, those frontline troops who were majority non-white doing these horrific rapes and things like that with their Jewish commissars versus the difference between Russian soldiers. And of course, bad things happen too. Not dismissing that, but I'm just saying that even in the supposed state where there is no class, there is no race, there is no religion, it's all just workers of the world, racial worldviews still come out. Differences on gender still come out. You know, the Soviet Union with the soldiers that they had. They had female snipers and female pilots, but when it came to the guys that were storming German positions, they had men do that. You know, all the leftist rhetoric falls apart when it actually has to hit reality. You know, it's like a car accident and they don't have a seatbelt. You know, they just go flying out of the car because their positions just have no relation to reality whatsoever. So when it looks to the modern perspective in Western countries, in the UK, in the United States, that these positions that they hold, I mean, you're 100% right when they talk about, you know, how everyone's supposedly the same. A great example in the United States about how that's nonsense is the crime rate in Appalachia versus the crime rate in the inner city. And Appalachia is the poorest part of America. It's the whitest part of America. And it's got a below national average crime rate. And most of that crime is petty crime and is nonviolent drug crime. Versus the inner cities, where we're having places like Chicago, where over 500 people have been shot and killed this year. The differences between races is so clear, and anything they put up about economic inequality, about things like that, absolutely falls apart, even when presented with the data, that different races act differently. That's just the way it is. We have different cultures, we have different behaviors, that's just normal. It's, you know, just like the idea if you went to a dog show and there was a Great Dane and an English bulldog and a beagle and, you know, golden retriever, and you want them to do all the same task and expect them to behave the exact same way and bark in the same way. And, you know, then you say, well, obviously that can't be done. And they say, you know, there's only one breed, the dog breed, you know, sort of thing. So it's absolutely the left's mindset is out of touch with reality. And it seems like the neoliberal parties in the West have just doubled down on this philosophy over and over and over again. It's the only way they can keep things going is by doubling down on these positions that become increasingly clear that they've got no basis whatsoever in reality. So how do you see this impacting, taking it across the pond real quick, with Hillary Clinton? Because we were talking about how the Democrats, you know, again, doing the same thing as the Labor Party, you know, and when it comes to the diversity thing, there's also a movement within Democratic Party to divest from Israel, to recognize Palestine, things like that. So multiculturalism is bringing those issues for them. But them doubling down on their policy of abandoning the white working class and supporting all these globalist policies. Do you see Labor and the Democrats as basically kind of being the same expression of these neoliberal philosophies that that are kind of running out of steam?
Well, yeah, I think that there's both an equivalency between them, between the Democrats and the Labour Party. But the difference is that in the Labour Party over here, Jeremy Corbyn is our Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders failed over there. You've got Hillary Clinton there, who is very different to who Bernie Sanders, but the same sort of supporters that were supporting him, the extreme communist radicals, are the ones that have been supporting Jeremy Corbyn. Now, it's interesting that you mentioned socialism when you were talking just then, because when their economics shadow economics chancellor spoke yesterday, he finished his speech by saying, "We are not afraid to say what we are. We are socialists. We are the socialist party." So he was quite open of the fact that they are socialists. And this is the problem, because the socialists have some good ideas. They want social justice. They want people to be looked after. They want there to be the poorest people to be looked after. They want the richest people to look after the poorest people. But where it all falls down is that it's their idea of it. It's all based on multiculturalism. It's all based on everybody being the same. This is why you need to have national socialism. It needs to be based on ethnicity so that people actually want to be giving out their taxes, because they know that it's going to be going to people from their own family, from their own racial family. This is where the difference comes in. If you're just going to be taking the money from the upper class of one group, and then instead of giving it to the lower class of that group, you're taking that money from the upper class, and then you're giving it to another country, basically another race, so that they can just wire all their money off to another country. That's not justice. That's theft. That's stealing. That's stealing the money from one group of people to give it to another. If it's transferring the money from people within the same race, then it stays within that same race. It doesn't disappear overseas. When those less well-off people have got themselves a house, they've got themselves set up, they've got themselves children, they're well-off, then they're paying into the systems for the other poorer people that are a part of their extended family. When it's different races, the way that the Labour Party want to do it and the way that Hillary Clinton wants to do it, that's when it's an injustice. And Hillary Clinton wants to take the money from the white people in America and give it to the blacks in America. And that is a complete injustice. If she wants to take the money from the blacks to give to the blacks, that would be fine. But they haven't got any money, because they have a completely different way of doing things. This is why Africa has no money. So they're... socialism is basically a way to siphon all the money and all the resources away from the people that created that money and created that wealth to another people entirely. Instead of circulating that wealth around to extended members of the family, and then they in their turn pay it back to other extended members of the family, they're stealing it. Now, this is the difference. Rather than circulating the wealth and the resources within one ethnic group, they're just siphoning all those resources away from the ethnic group that created them, the people with all the cleverness and inventiveness to actually create these things that create more wealth for us. It just all gets siphoned away. And that's why the bankers like this socialism, that, you know, because it functions to create lots and lots of money and then give it away to other people. So we have to work all the harder, all the more, to keep feeding into the system. Of course, then they add the usury on top of it all.
It's never an in system. I mean, and that's what we need to understand, that, you know, it's basically the bankers and the elites are treating us like the kulaks, you know, in the Soviet Union. Apparently, I'm on a Soviet Union kick today. But, you know, the only farms that we're producing in the Ukraine and in different parts of Russia were the kulaks. And ideologically, they had to be dealt with. They had to be removed because they had some degree of independence from the state. They couldn't be controlled by the Jewish commissars and the Bolsheviks because they could feed themselves. So the Soviet Union then goes, you know, with a forced famine against the kulaks. It turns against them. But it's that very kind of tragic thing where, you know, is you're removing the population that's feeding the rest of your population. And then, you know, there were bread shortages and all sorts of different things throughout the rest of the Soviet Union. And I kind of see it the same way with their removal of white people. You know, they for a very long time, I think, if they weren't flooding our countries, if they weren't demographically displacing us, could have created a situation where we really subsidized the globalist project for another century. But that's not going to happen because they're making us disappear. They're literally removing us. They're killing the golden goose to back up their globalist project. Because you go to somebody in Africa, or you go to the Chinese or something like that, they're not going to give away their wealth to a bunch of Jewish bankers to use around the world to further foreign interests and not their own. That'd be absolutely insane. Only white people in the post-war period have been duped into this nonsense. So kind of the way I see it is that the Jews, I mean, if there were Jews in the Soviet Union, there's Jews today who are running the system, is, to me, I think they really are killing the golden goose by demographically and culturally displacing us, because we're the only ones that actually buy into their system ideologically, with our, you know, with our civilian population falling for the globalist lies, the Jewish lies. But at the same time, we're the only ones making the money they need. I mean, I've seen the numbers when it comes to the average immigrant costing hundreds of thousands of dollars in benefits and things like that, you know, but they're supposed to pay our pensions and whatnot. But what, you know, what ends up happening is that each one person they bring in is less and less pie. You know, we're trying to divide a piece of pie for everybody, and every new person that comes in is less and less pie. And they're shooting the baker, essentially, by removing us from the system, unemploying us by sending our jobs overseas. So what do you think on that? Do you think these Jews are really kind of sowing their own demise because they're killing the golden goose of the white population across the Western world that they rely upon to further their ideology and their agenda?
Well, I think they showed that with the Ukraine that you brought up there, where they just drove the farmers into the ground and starved millions of them to death, basically, by taking all their grain to pay back the bankers that had loaned Stalin the money. So they're quite happy to just kill off lots of people and destroy the farming industry and run the Russian industry into the ground, because they have this subconscious drive to wipe out the white man. I think that's what that boils down to. But to go back to the bankers and why they like this immigration, whenever you have people in a country, the way that our international banking system works, you can use those people as collateral on a debt. So the government says, well, we've got X amount of people. That means on average, we can collect X amount of taxes. That means this year we can claim X amount of budget from the banks. So to the banks, the more people there are, the better it is, because it means that the government are going to need a bigger budget. And if the government have a bigger budget, then there's more interest that needs to be put on top of it. So it means that the banks are going to collect even more interest. So regardless of these people that come into our countries, regardless of whether they're on benefits, whether they work or not, the bankers like it because the government has to borrow more money. And the government like it as well, because it means that because they're working for these bankers, they're in their pockets. So this is the system that they have, regardless of whether these people are even working or not. It still makes money for the bankers just by having more heads to count in the country. It means that these banks are producing more money and can then claim more back in the interest. So this idea that everybody is the same can also be looked back at as the way that the bankers are purely financially looking at people, as in they're all the same. They're all these economic units that are worth X amount of capital, which is exactly the way that Marx looked at human beings, as if they were just these producers on an assembly line that could all make X amount of money for the economy. So it's a purely materialistic way of looking at people, a really atheistic way of looking at things that just makes money for the elites at the very top. As we know, the elites at the very top are at least 90% Jewish. So they're all part of this one ethnic group that has a historical grudge against us in the first place. So all the while they are flooding our countries with these foreigners, they make conditions worse for us, but they actually make conditions better for them. They actually make more money for them. And if their banks end up folding, they can always get the government to bail them out, which again is a communist way of doing things. You know,
The state-run industry that isn't actually state-run, it's internationally run. And these are the lies that they, you know, have been telling for generations now. This is the entire Jewish ideology of them viewing themselves above the law, above the goyim, above everything else, that they can go into whatever country they want, they can do whatever they want to be able to pilfer, to rape, to steal, to lie, to cheat, to have millions and millions of people killed in their wars, to pad their bottom line. Everything about them is their mindset that they are unaccountable to anyone but themselves. And they're unaccountable to God in their eyes because, of course, they've rejected God, they've rejected Christ, they've rejected any sort of morality. The majority of Jews on this planet are atheists, as you know, we were talking about. And they're radical materialists. All that matters to them is here and now, and getting the most amount of stuff, the most amount of money, the most amount of power, the most amount of time on this planet that they use to rule over the goyim. That's their entire mindset. They are driven purely and simply by their own greed. So, I mean, how much do you think that plays in with the collaborators? I mean, I really think, looking throughout history and doing the studies, that you never see, I mean, obviously, a Christian who's a religious person collaborating with these Jews. You only ever see the liberals that don't actually believe in anything or atheists and things like that. I mean, do you think the really nature of the world that we live in, as we come to the end of the show, kind of breaks down to this idea of, you know, the European spirit, the natural spirit, you know, God's law, natural law, is the idea that there is something greater than the self, that the material is important, but there's also a supernatural, there's an element that, you know, whether you're a Christian or a folk religionist or things like that, you've got a responsibility to your ancestors and your children. It's not just about you. It's not just about your personal stuff. There's a responsibility and that you're given and that you have to fulfill, where these other mindsets where the left is all about, I mean, whether it's the transgender issue or the homosexual issue or the abortion issue, where they literally are killing millions of children every single year in the name of my body, my rights, and, you know, I want to make myself happy. Do you see that it really is one of the big dividing lines between the nationalists and the globalists? I think it's just atheism. I mean, this would go in why Adolf Hitler declared the Second World War a crusade, you know, against godless atheism. And do you see that as a big breakdown in our modern age of those that believe in something greater than themselves versus the people that only worship themselves?
Well, yeah, I mean, the European way is to always be reaching for something higher, reaching for something greater, because you know that there's a God there, there's a creator there. And the atheistic, materialistic way is to say that, well, there is nothing there. We are just the same as the animals. You know, it's just the basic human needs that we have, and there isn't anything more than that. And why would you care about your ancestors? Because they're not here now. Why would you care about your descendants? Because they're not here now. It's all about the here and the now, which is, it's an atheistic way of looking at things, but it's also a very Negro way of looking at things, is to just live for the here and the now, which is why a lot of them are hedonistic and have problems saving for the future. But Europeans have always sacrificed what they do in the now for the better of the future, for the better of their descendants. There's a good, very good comment that someone's just put in the chat room. They said that I think with the Jews, it is with their obsession with human rights to the neglection of their human duties, of our human duties. So basically, they make a big fuss about the rights of the individual, and they completely forget the duty to those that came before that individual and those that come after that individual. I mean, everything that we have has been given to us by the people that came before us. I mean, just look around your room now. How much of it did you produce yourself? I bet very little of it. I bet it was all made by other people in factories and what have you. very little that the individual produces for himself now. And it's a very Jewish way of looking at it, as in take whatever you can from what's around you. Because if you continue to do that, there'll be nothing left for anyone. And of course, with the Jew, that's fine. As soon as there's nothing left, he can just move on to the next host and suck that host dry. And the whole capitalist system that we have, this individualistic system of making the most that you can from those people around you with no care for the community, that is the Jewish system. That is the Jewish way. And it is a parasitic way. And it is the anti-nationalist way. It's the globalist way and the anti-nationalist way.
I totally agree with that. And Sven, that's actually a great note. That's a great final thought, because I think you absolutely hit the nail on the head. So, guys, I just wanted to thank, first of all, you, Sven, for being here with me today. And for everyone, Jason Augustus is the one who has joined us here in Southern Indiana from 14 Sacred Words and one of our chief party propagandists. So this actually means he gave me permission to say the full-length album of 14 Sacred Words is going to be available in October. Super excited about that. He's been releasing new songs, but to have a full album done now that he's actually here out of New York and able to focus more time on white nationalism. So I appreciate you guys staying with me while I was gone the past 2 days, but it's worth it for everyone on the cause. So thank you for being here and listening in, and I'll look forward to being here tomorrow, guys. So have a great rest of your day. Hail victory!
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.